2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want to begin reading at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to bless our study of your word tonight, and we pray that we might be willing to lay ourselves bare before you and allow you to speak to our hearts. We pray that we might put away our feelings and our emotions, and that we might come now and reason together with you, that we might see ourselves as you see us, that you might convict us where we need conviction, encourage us where we need encouragement, that we might be a blessing to you here in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a few minutes, we want to think about the voice of the words of the Lord here in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, and notice these next words, except there come a falling away first. Those words are the voice of the words of the Lord that we want to think about tonight. When we read about a falling away, we think about passages like 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you like to turn over there, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Look across the page at chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. These are the kinds of verses that come to mind when we think about the falling away of the last days. And we think of these things as happening out there in the mainline denominations, out there in other churches. But when we think like that, then what we will tend to do is ignore the voice of the words of the Lord and follow the hands of Esau. And so what we want to do tonight is is examine and think about not out there, but in here at ourselves. And not look at ourselves based on how we feel, but look at ourselves in the light of the voice of the words of the Lord. And so for a few moments tonight, we want to consider this question. Is there a falling away at Calvary Memorial Church? First of all, has there been a falling away in our stand for the Word of God, the King James Bible? Certainly, there hasn't. We believe that, as we have for many, many years at this church, since its founding, we believe that the King James Bible is the inspired and infallible and inerrant Word of God. Has there been a falling away in our preaching of all the counsel of God, or in reading all the words of the law, all the words of this book, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law, or in preaching the Word, in being instant, in season, out of season, when preaching the Word is popular and when it's not? Any falling away from reproving and rebuking and exhorting and giving attention to doctrine? No. There hasn't. Has there been any falling away in our preaching of the gospel? No. We're still preaching the old time gospel message. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We're still preaching that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And that it is by grace that we're saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're still preaching the message of Acts 4:12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're still preaching the message of Titus 3:5, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. There has been no falling away in our preaching of the gospel. How about our music? Has there been a falling away toward contemporary Christian music? No. We're still singing the old hymns, these old psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're still singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. We're still singing with the Spirit, and we are singing with the understanding of what we're singing. We're singing words that are clearly spoken, clearly sung, and have a message, a real message from the Word of God, not the same five or six words repeated and sung over and over and over again for 10 or 15 minutes. We sing with the understanding. We can hear the words that are being sung. They aren't being drowned out by the pounding rhythm of the drums and the beat of the bass guitar and the clapping and the roaring of the people. Has there been a falling away at Calvary Memorial Church toward contemporary Christian music? The fact that these videos that Brother Jim is showing in the Bible Institute on Monday night is another way of answering that question. No, there has not been a falling away in this church toward contemporary Christian music. Has there been a falling away in our associations and our relationships with ministries and groups and denominations that compromise the message of this book. No. We still believe and we still preach and we still live by Ephesians 5:11 and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Has there been a falling away in our stand for Christian education in the Christian school? Against the indoctrination mills of the public schools of this nation? No, there hasn't. After more than 50 years, we're still standing firmly on Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Has there been a falling away in our stand against abortion? No, there hasn't. We're still standing and acting according to the words of Proverbs 31 and verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Has there been a falling away in our relationship to government and the bounds of its authority? No, there hasn't. Because the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 22 and verse 21 have not changed. He said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And when Caesar, when government puts itself in the place of God and demands the worship and the allegiance that belongs to God and God alone, and demands disobedience to the Word of God, then Acts 5 and verse 29 is our warrant for action. We ought to obey God rather than men. We could go on. But just looking at these things, it looks like we have checked all the boxes the way that they should be checked. And there's been no falling away here, so I guess that we can pat ourselves on the back and Brother Benny can come and lead us in a hymn and we can go home. Don't all of you go out the back door. But before we do, I'd like for us to look at a church that we sound a whole lot like. A church that we sound a whole lot like. Turn over, if you will, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And look at verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." I believe this church at Ephesus checks off the same boxes that we just checked off. And I believe that the conclusion that they would have come to is exactly the same one that we have arrived at. There has been no falling away. But the message to this church at Ephesus and the message to us does not end in verse 3. Look at verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." There was a falling away in the church at Ephesus. Look at all the boxes they could check. All of the boxes that they could check off. just like us. But there was a falling away in this church. And the falling away is that they had left their first love. They had left their first love. May I say tonight that this is the same falling away at Calvary Memorial Church? One of the first loves that we have fallen away from is Calvary Christian School. Folks, in years past, and you don't have to go back too many years for this, we had a sheet of paper in the office that was full of the names of people who were willing to be substitutes here. Finding a substitute was not a problem. The only issue is, who are you going to pick? We're down to two substitutes. Two. That's a falling away. And it's a serious problem. Might not be a serious problem in the early fall. Be a serious problem in the winter, when the flu and the viruses and all of these other things come about. It represents falling away. I look at the security roster from 2 years ago, and I look at it today, and it seems that it's smaller than when we began that ministry. Very important ministry. It seems that there is a falling away in that area. The same thing is true with the nursery. As I looked at this list in the past, the nursery list, and as I look at it now, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems that it's smaller. By that I mean there are less people helping than there have been in the past. That represents a falling away. And the purpose in bringing this up is not to be critical of anyone, but rather to point out that there needs to be an equality in the ministry, so that one group of men is not burdened with all of the responsibility of the security at our services. And so that one group of ladies is not burdened with all the responsibility of keeping the nursery at our service. And the equality that we're talking about in both of these cases is men and women on a regular basis being able to receive the ministry of the Word of God here at church, and not in the nursery, where sometimes it gets a little distracting in there, or out on the porch in the heat. I think there's a falling away from our first love in these areas of service. And in each of these cases, people, whether we're talking about substitutes at school, or whether we're talking about the security team, or whether we're talking about the nursery, people might say, my circumstances have changed. And that may be legitimately changed. But folks, I can't go into all the possible scenarios in people's lives in a message like this. If you start reading out all of the possible exceptions, we'd be here all night. I'm just trying to preach the way that Kent said he tried to preach. And that's by the old Puritan proverb. That old proverb says, so preach as to condemn no one, but so preach that if guilty, they will condemn themselves. And there's a verse in the Bible that conveys that same thought. And it may be where it came from. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God? Now, someone might think that these are such small areas, but they aren't small areas. We need to remember that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Another area where there is a falling away is in church attendance. The voice of the words of the Lord is Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is there a falling away from our first love when it comes to being in attendance at the services and being glad to be here? Being glad to be here. So glad that we're willing to put up our cell phones? People say, I have my Bible on my cell phone. Well, I do too. And it's very handy. It has a concordance. And sometimes I'll be taking the dogs out, walking around in the yard, and be thinking about a verse or something, and I don't have my Bible with me. I pull my cell phone out and type in get the Bible program, and look up the word. The verse comes up. You probably use your cell phone that way too. Cases, maybe you're talking to somebody out on the job, or you're having an opportunity to witness to somebody, and there's a verse you're trying to think of. Where is it? It's very handy to have that. And again, I'm not trying to take away anybody's individual liberty. But when you come to church, I think you need to bring your Bible.
Amen.
Do we come to these services and we're glad to be here? To put away all the distractions? David said in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Think about that. Are you glad when Wednesday night comes? Are we? Are we glad when Sunday morning comes? Are we glad when Sunday night comes? David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, we're learning, if you think about it, we wonder sometimes, why he's a man after God's own heart? His statement's just exactly like that. That's why he's a man after God's own heart. This is where God's heart is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. His heart's here. You want to be a man or a woman after his heart? Well, one way to do it is to be here in the services and meet with him. David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There are people that have made an impression on me in this church. Think about Barbara and Jerry Hinesley. Well, they were glad when you said to them, let us go to the house of the Lord. They've come out of the hospital many a time on a Wednesday afternoon, and where did you find them on Wednesday night? Right here in this church. I think about Don Sebastian shuffling in the back door when he couldn't hardly lift his feet to take a step. But that man wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That is first love church attendance. That's first love church attendance. Do we have that? Or have we fallen away from it? Teachers, staff, because you are in leadership here, and ministering at this school is a position of leadership in the Lord's work, and because of that, you sign a pledge that says you'll be in the services here unless you're providentially hindered. Is there a falling away in your life in this area? Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21 says, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee." That's why Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 5 says, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." Is there a falling away from our first love when it comes to church attendance? What about Sunday school? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, includes Sunday school, does it not? There has been a great falling away in Sunday school at Calvary Memorial Church. Such a falling away that Brother Michael Pies, the Sunday school superintendent, came to a board meeting recently. And he brought I'll call it a survey with him to share with the board. And what Michael did on this piece of paper is he listed each class, and he had gone through and made a list of the names of the young people in this church. And so he had the actual attendance and the potential attendance for each class. The 18-month to K-3 class was the only one where the actual and the potential were the same. In the K-4 to first grade, the potential is 5 young people to be in that class. The actual is 1. In the second and third grade class, the potential is 5. And the actual is 1. In the 4th through 6th grade class, the potential is 6 and the actual is 2. In the 7th and 8th grade class, the potential is 4 and the actual is 1. And in the high school class, the potential is 19 and the actual is 4. Across the entire Sunday school, the potential number of children is 43. The actual is 10. Folks, that's less than 25% attendance. 23% to be exact. Or another way to say it, that is 77% absenteeism. That is a great falling away. And it's happening at a church that believes itself to be checking all the boxes of fundamentalism that we mentioned earlier. So who's to blame? Who's to blame? Well, the Lord tells us in Mark chapter 10 and verse 14. He said there, "Suffer." That word means let. Suffer. "Let the little children come unto me and forbid them not." Who's the Lord talking to? Who's the Lord talking to when he says forbid them not? Well, in the immediate context, he was talking to his disciples who were trying to, as these little children were trying to come to the Lord to see him, to talk with him. He's talking to them. It displeased him when the disciples wanted to keep him back and keep him away. But I'll tell you who else he's talking to. He's talking to 77% of the parents in this church with children, because they are forbidding their children from coming and meeting with the Lord Jesus in Sunday school. You say, well, how are they forbidding their children from coming? They won't bring them. They won't bring them. Every age group in this survey is dependent on their parents to bring them to Sunday school. They can't drive. So why are they forbidding their children from coming to Sunday school? One thing that comes to mind is Sunday morning is the opportunity to sleep late. But think about this. If you have to be at work at 8 o'clock during the week, and you don't have to be to Sunday school until 9:45, that means that you can automatically sleep an hour and 45 minutes later on Sunday morning than you do Monday through Friday. And you'll still get to Sunday school on time. You won't just be an early arrival for preaching. An hour and 45 minutes over the course of a year is 91 more hours of sleep. You won't stop going around talking about being tired? Come to Sunday school. Take that hour and 45 minutes that you can sleep later and enjoy it, and then get up and come to Sunday school. And don't just bring your kids and let them out and go get breakfast. Come to Mr. Creech's adult Sunday school class. Folks, we're talking about a falling away from our first love. A falling away that is going to impact the future of this church. Because teaching our children all of these fundamentals of the faith, and we didn't mention all of them. We didn't talk about the virgin birth. We didn't talk about the resurrection. We didn't talk about the pre-tribulation coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's other things. Yes, we're still standing for those things. But teaching our children all of these fundamentals of the faith begins in Sunday school. And 77% of the future members and leaders of this church and school are not there to begin to hear these things. And one day, that 77% will be in charge. And they'll outvote the 23%. And what began as a falling away will end in complete and total apostasy. It can happen here. And we need to think about that tonight. Get emotions out of the way. Get feelings out of the way. Hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. And I would read it this way. Unto the angel of Calvary Memorial Church in Southern Pines write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. May the Lord help us tonight to examine ourselves before Him, to hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Father, we pray that You would help us to consider these things tonight, consider Your Word, to put our own view of ourselves and our view of this church out of the way. All of the feelings and emotions. And we pray that we would come and sit down and reason together with You over Your Word. And see where we're wanting. See the areas in our life where we have fallen away from our first love. And we pray that we would do exactly what You told the church at Ephesus to do. And that is repent. Repent and do the first works. We pray that You might help us to do that tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.